You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, it's our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. Rob Menser will check in the top stories from the past week, including a new broadband contract that will save the state $8 million and get faster internet to school districts.
First, the statistics for food waste in the United States have skyrocketed over the last few decades. We waste twice as much food now as we did in the 1970s. And the Natural Resources Defense Council says 40% of all food produced in the U.S. is thrown out. That adds up to 35 million tons of edible food wasted.
Our next guest has a new cookbook about how to use up all of that extra food. And we want to hear from you on this. What do you do to cut down on food waste? How do you make sure you're using up all that you can in the kitchen? And do you have specific recipes to use up those leftovers? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Sherry Brooks Vinton joins us now. She's the author of Eat It Up, 150 recipes to use every bit and enjoy every bite of the food you buy. She's also the author of the three-part Put 'Em Up series, as well as the Real Food Revival. Sherry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we'll spend most of our time, I think, on the how of cutting down on food waste, but tell us a little more about the why. Why are you so passionate about this issue of food waste?
Well, you know, there are so many reasons to use up all of the food that you buy, and we can talk logically about the time that you save, the money that you save, the ecological impact that you lessen by using up all of the food that you buy. But I think that the biggest reason to use up all the food that you buy is to enjoy all the flavor of the food that you bring home.
So how big a problem is it, food waste, people throwing out stuff that could be eaten?
It's a huge problem in this country, and one that could, if solved, could feed a lot of hungry people.
Well, let's start talking about how. Now, first of all, before we get to recipes, you have some advice on some of the basics, like how to organize our refrigerator to cut down on waste. How can we set that up so we don't lose track of that food in the back?
Yeah, you know, I don't know you, but as well-intentioned as I might be, out of sight, out of mind when it comes to my refrigerator. And the refrigerators that we have are pretty big, and it's not hard to kind of, you know, let things get shoved to the back and then we forget about them. And I've uncovered things that kind of broke my heart, you know, to see in there. So I like to keep all of my leftovers on one shelf. So, and that can be anything from, like, you know, a little bit of takeout rice that you have left over, some cooked chicken, some grilled vegetables, anything at all. Keep that on that shelf, and then shop that shelf first when you're doing your meal planning. And that way, not only will you use up your food waste, but you'll get a running start on your food prep.
And you say, in general, to keep the stuff, you know, the produce that could go bad soonest, right in front of your eyes instead of, you know, the things that could stick around longer, maybe like a jug of milk.
Sure. You know, when you're organizing your produce drawer, you want to keep the very delicate items on top so that you use them up quickly and so that they don't get crushed in the constant turnover of that drawer. Hardy things like apples that you know that you might have on hand regularly and you will always dig for it, they can go on the bottom. But the fresh greens that you bring home from the market that you really want to enjoy before they start to look a little sad, keep those on top so that's what you grab for.
We are talking about food waste with Sherry Brooks Vinton, author of the new book, Eat It Up. It's a cookbook that'll help us use up the stuff in our fridge and our pantry that we might end up throwing away. And Sherry, I learned something from your book today. I've been wasting a lot of food that I didn't even know was food. A lot of things I didn't know you could eat, like the leaves around the broccoli and the cauliflower. You can eat that. I wasn't even fully aware of that. And B, you could tell us how.
That's right, Rob. That's a great point. I think we've sort of, you know, lost touch with what's edible. A lot of times when you go in the grocery store, we see what's sold or, you know, just the broccoli crowns or just the heart of the celery. So it's kind of, I think, created this mindset that that's the best part or the only edible part. But really, when you go to the farmer's market and you get these things fully intact, you see, you know, the beets come with a beautiful bunch of greens on top, for example. And I've seen people make the mistake of having the farmer chop off those greens and just give them the roots to cook. And they're making a big mistake because not only are they wasting money because you're paying by the bunch and you're paying for those greens, but you're missing out on a great opportunity to enjoy something that tastes, you know, pretty similar to Swiss chard, and you can saute up in the same way.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about what you're suggesting. I mean, a lot of the stuff, like the leaves around the cauliflower or some of the, you know, the stalks of chard or something like that, you think that they might not taste so good, that they're generally wasted for a reason because they're not that edible. Is there truth to that? How do we know what we can actually eat and what we can't?
You know, there are very few things that are no-nos, and you won't see them presented to you in the farmer's market. Rhubarb leaves, for example, you can only eat the stalks of the rhubarb and not the leaves. But pretty much, you know, a lot of the things that we waste, a prime example for me and was a real revelation, are the stalks from broccoli. I had always just chopped off the crowns and cooked with them, and I threw the whole stalk away. I had no idea that you could eat it. But then I was reading something that Julia Child wrote, and she said that it's a really tender and delicious part of the vegetable. You just peel that bottom stalk like you would a carrot and chop it up and add it to your recipe. And ever since I read that, I've been doing that trick, and it is now my favorite part of the plant.
Now, we've got a recipe for us, a pumpkin seed mole. Now, I like pumpkin seeds. I bake them up in the oven, but the problem I often have is that, you know, for a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin or even a baking pumpkin, a lot of the time the seeds are just too tough. You have a solution to this before we get to the mole recipe. Can you talk about how to turn those pumpkin seeds from a chore into something that we could actually eat pretty easily?
Sure. A lot of us, you know, when we're carving jack-o'-lanterns, we'll take the pumpkin seeds out and roast them. And that's one way to enjoy them. But you can also boil them. You just roll rolling pin. Thank you. So you just roll the rolling pin over top a single layer of those seeds just to crack the shell a little bit. And then you put them in a pot of boiling water, and the shells will separate from the seeds, and the shells will actually float to the top, and you can just skim them off, and then you have all the seeds in the bottom of the pot.
Wow.
And then you can use them in a variety of recipes, including the mole.
I never knew that. And so the part that's supposed to be so nutritious, because I know pumpkin seeds are supposed to be especially good for you, so the good stuff for you is not in that that outside of the seed that floats to the top?
Right. It's not in that the white husk that we sort of chew through. It's the green part inside, that little seed that's in the white husk.
I can't wait to do that. Can you tell us a little bit now about that pumpkin seed mole? We've got that, by the way, on the WPR website.
Yes, you have the recipe there. You know, I say mole in quotes, and I don't mean to offend any traditional Mexican cooks. A mole is a Oaxacan sauce. There are a variety of them. There is a black mole, mole verde, and it's really a combination of vegetables, sometimes fruits and nuts and spices. Sometimes you'll have chocolate in the mole for the mole negro. And you can cook up a batch of this, and you can use it to sauce all kinds of things, from roast chicken, even to roast vegetables. It's great on the side of things. Anything with cheese really tastes great with it. So you can make up a batch of this mole sauce, which the version I have uses some pumpkin seeds in it, and they add a sort of a depth of flavor and a richness to it, just like the nuts in a pesto. And you can make up this mole sauce, use it for dinner, and then keep some in the freezer for later.
That sounds delicious. Let's take a caller now. We've got Teresa joining us from Menasha. Teresa, hi.
Hi. I'm loving the program so far. Thanks for all the ideas.
Great. Well, what did you want to share?
Well, one of the things that I started doing myself to try to lose weight is to plan my meals ahead of time so I don't just grab a frozen pizza. But in that, I also buy a lot more fresh vegetables and fruits. And in order to make sure I'm using those, I pre-plan all my meals. So that way, let's say, for example, I'm using a half a cabbage for a stew, I'll make sure I use the other half a cabbage later in the week with a different recipe, like coleslaw, for example. So by the end of the week, when I go back to the grocery store, I don't have hardly anything other than maybe some condiments and a couple apples in my refrigerator.
Wow, that's great, Teresa. And I think it sounds like she's kind of thinking like a chef, Sherry. Would you say where she's thinking about the whole week and the whole plant?
I think that's great, and good for you, Teresa. And I know I have shared that it's so satisfying, that feeling when you open your fridge and you're like, yes, it's empty. Goal achieved. You know, I've eaten through everything. And, yeah, you know, chefs and home cooks alike, planning is a really important tool to use in the kitchen. So plan out as much as you can. And then I would say also have a couple wild cards in your back pocket, some recipes that use up sort of the odds, like leftover or scrap of food or bits and bob that is kind of lurking around. I call them blank canvas recipes. And if you have something that you can put together, like a frittata or an omelet, if you have some eggs in your fridge, you can throw anything in there. Fried rice is another one that can take on a whole variety of ingredients. And that way, if you aren't as efficient as Teresa and you don't make it to the completely empty fridge, you have another way to go.
We're talking right now with Sherry Brooks Vinton. She's the author of Eat It Up, 150 Recipes to Use Every Bit and Enjoy Every Bite of the Food You Buy.
And you can call in at 800-642-1234. How do you make sure you are using everything you have in the kitchen? How do you repurpose things that might otherwise be thrown out? The stale bread, the cheese rinds. What recipes do you use to make sure you're using all you can of your ingredients? And is there something you keep throwing out and feeling bad about? Maybe Sherry can give you some advice on making use of it. Call now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now with Sherry Brooks Vinton. She's the author of Eat It Up, 150 Recipes to Use Every Bit and Enjoy Every Bite of the Food You Buy.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What recipes do you keep on hand to use up your leftovers? What do you always end up just throwing out in your kitchen? What do you do to cut down on food waste? And do you have questions for Sherry on how to make use of things you don't usually use up? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post and find a link to a recipe on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take another caller now. We've got Mike joining us in Sister Bay. Hi, Mike. Mike, are you there?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Always a great show, so thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you'll never throw away another piece of produce or fruit if you buy a Nutribullet. As soon as the produce or fruit is showing signs of age, throw it in a Nutribullet or a similar appliance and drink it.
Ah, so this is one of those fancy kind of juicers that's out there. So can you tell us, Mike, what kinds of things that you toss in there?
Anything that the instructions allow you to. So you can, and even if the produce is not old, jumping to another subject, you can throw in the radish tops, beet tops, celery tops, carrot tops for a green drink.
Great.
And so it's a very handy appliance for that reason, and also for any produce that's showing signs of age. So you never have to. We never have to throw anything away anymore.
Great, Mike. Thanks for that. So, what about juicing, Sherry? And that also put me in the mind of soup, which seems like another great catch-all recipe.
That's right. Soup is really my go-to. I call it, you know, everything in the kitchen soup. And if you just start with a really simple base of sautéing up maybe some onions and garlic, carrot if you have it, or celery, maybe a little bit of tomato, and some water or stock, you can throw anything in that pot and have another meal out of it. But, you know, to your caller's point, juicing, that's great, although I prefer blending and using, you know, the whole fruit, so I'm not just taking out the juice and throwing out the pulp, because that's another source of food waste. I throw everything in a blender and just puree it up and then either enjoy that as a drink or throw that in the soup, too.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mike. And I think his brand is a blender, so I have something similar But I have a hard time with mixing veggies with my fruit smoothies. But that's a whole other story. We'll go now to Bill on the line in Stoughton. Bill, hi.
Hi there. I would just like to say that a lot of times, like, when I read the expiration date that's on food, I always feel like it's really, like, short-lived. And so, like, a lot of times when I'm digging through the fridge and, like, I find stuff that it might, I don't want this to sound gross, but if it's already expired, like, a lot of times I kind of just do, like, the smell check. You know, and my mom really hates this, but I always feel like the
food.
Yeah, but I always feel like that's, like, so wasteful, like, because my mom will throw stuff away just because it's expired. But I always feel like, you know, it's not just because the expiration date says it's gone or, you know, expired doesn't mean that it's junk, you know.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. Sherry, how do you juggle expiration dates when trying to figure out what to throw away?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk of reforming expiration dates just for that point alone. It's confusing, and they vary from state to state. So you'll notice your expiration date sometimes says best by, best used by, best purchased by. Those are rarely are they indications of safety. They're really just a date that is put on the product that the grocery store will guarantee it by. But, for example, if you go into your pantry right now and look at your condiments and, you know, mustards and things like that, they'll have expiration dates on them. They're not going to get you sick if you use them past the expiration date. They may fade in color and flavor a little bit, and that expiration date just ensures that you know that, you know, the quality might go down a little bit, your mustard might not be as spicy, but it's not going to make you ill. The only exception to that really is baby food. You really should observe the expiration dates on baby food, but outside of that, I think, you know, use your senses. Use your that little smell test. That's not gross. That's the way to get by in the kitchen. Use your senses.
Bill, thanks a lot for that that thought about expiration dates. And we'll go next to Mary in Pewaukee. Mary, hi.
Hi. Thanks for letting me contribute. One is that I have a compost garbage can in the house, in the kitchen, and I have a big compost pile outside. That's a really good way for those things that you can't eat, like potato peels or, you know, even though you could eat those. Pickled watermelon rind is a new thing I just heard. You can use broccoli stalks for broccoli slaw, which is really good. And, you know, that's an uncooked, so healthy item. Purchase less. I've seen so many people buy a bunch of bananas when you can just pull one or two, like take a green one, a yellow one, and a partially green yellow, and then you've got your bananas for the next 3-4 days. You can also refrigerate the fruits once they start to soften up. So just a few other things.
Mary, I'm really intrigued by the pickled watermelon rind. What does that taste like?
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't tried it yet, but I just heard about it on the show The Kitchen, and they said it's really good, and I will try it the next time I cut my watermelon. You don't use the outer layer, but that lighter green, when the red turns green or like a yellowish, that part can be cut in small chunks, and then you pickle it with some vinegar and a few other items. I'm sure anyone could look it up.
You know, you can actually look that up in my book. I have a recipe for it.
Great. Well, tell us about that, Sherry, because that's a revelation to me.
Yeah, pickled watermelon rind, you're right, is just a beautiful trash to treasure recipe. You cut up the watermelon, as you're saying, and then you pickle it in a combination of vinegar and sugar, which tames the vinegar, and some really nice warm spices like cinnamon sticks and cloves, maybe a zest of lemon or orange. It picks up those warm flavors. As it cooks, the watermelon rind goes translucent, so it takes on a beautiful sort of golden jewel tone. And then you can put that in the refrigerator and enjoy that for up to 3 weeks, or a lot of people will can that if you have any canners in your audience. And you can that, and it'll be shelf-stable for up to a year.
Mary, thanks for that call. We are learning how not to waste food with Sherry Brooks Vinton. Her new book is called Eat It Up. A lot of recipes in there for using food that might otherwise get thrown away. It is apple season just starting here in Wisconsin, Sherry. And you know, I peel the apples. I have kids with braces. They don't like the apple peel. You've got a few ways we can use up those apple peels we're going to have so many of. What do we do with them?
Well, my favorite use for apple peels is to turn them into a little bit of a snack. So if you have kids, they might enjoy this one as well. You take the apple peels and arrange them on a cookie sheet and put just a tiny bit of oil on them and maybe a little sugar and cinnamon to sweeten them up a little bit and pop them in a low oven, about 250, and they crisp up. They're not as chewy as like a dried apple rind or a dried apple that you may have had. They're kind of crunchy, and they make a lovely fall snack to enjoy.
And Sherry, one of the things you point out in your book is that, you know, what you're talking about here, in a sense, it's not revolutionary. This is how you say generations of grandmothers cooked. They were very efficient in the kitchen, using every last bit. Why do you think we've gotten away from it a little bit?
Well, you know, I think we're coming back to a lot of food traditions that kind of fell out of favor for a while. And people are canning again, and there's renewed interest in cooking. And I think once you get in there in the kitchen and you start cooking, you can realize some economy of time and money and energy by adopting some of these practices. And I think it's just really sort of rekindling a knowledge that kind of dropped off for a generation or so.
And Sherry, a next non-wasting recipe you're getting ready to make maybe this weekend as we wrap up briefly?
Oh, gee. You know, it's September is the best time for preserving. So I know in the farmer's market sometimes around this time of year, things are super abundant. Tomatoes are really abundant. And I like to do lots of things with tomatoes, including can them, make sauce out of them. I make a wonderful granita out of the tomato water that comes off of peeling tomatoes. So lots of great things to do with the abundance of this time of year.
Sherry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sherry Brooks Vinton. We've been talking about her new book on avoiding food waste. It's called Eat It Up, 150 recipes to use every bit and enjoy every bite of the food you buy. You can find a link, by the way, to her recipe for pumpkin seed mole on the Central Time Facebook page and at WPR.org.